The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Invite you to open the Word of God this evening back to the Gospel of John. We'd like to continue our exposition of the Gospel of John. And here in John chapter 8, really, I think the main thought that we would like to get from this portion of Scripture is centered around verse 47, which is the hearing of God's Word. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And Jesus, throughout his interaction here in this chapter, has been leveling some very stark and harsh accusations against the Jews that sought to kill him. And I always like to be reminded of the setting, the physical location, and not just the physical location, but the audience of the message. I think it adds a lot more context to the context to not just know where they're at, but also the audience. And Jesus is in the middle of the temple here, and he's primarily rebuking these Pharisees that are seeking to kill him. But then he also has this brief interaction with those who believe on him in the temple as well that we highlighted during the last message. But building back up to the portion of Scripture we'd like to look at this evening, I want to just brush back through some of this dialogue that we see here in John chapter 8 with the thought of who hears God's words. Who hears God's words? Because really, the general disposition in Christianity today, in denominational Christianity, is that it is up to you to choose to hear God's words and to choose to be saved and to choose to be born again. And, you know, it's just so interesting that for some reason, Jesus sees people that are, you know, we know and we love people from other denominations that they have a zeal of God, but I hope I can say this with the correct degree of kindness. They have a zeal of God, but maybe not according to knowledge. Because they feel like that people are going to go to hell if they can't get the gospel to them. And their message to them is that if you don't believe, you're going to die in your sins if you don't perform some action. And they feel that burden of the eternal weight of someone else's salvation that we were never intended to bear. But if that is the disposition that we should have toward preaching the gospel, if Jesus saw somebody that if they chose to not believe in him, if they were on the fast track to hell and he loved them, because Jesus supposedly loves the whole world, if he sees them on the fast track to hell and he loves them, don't you think that Jesus would be calling on them to repent, to be saved to heaven, right? That should be the disposition that Jesus has toward these people that are in a really, really, really bad spot. You know, Jesus, we're going to go through some of this language he uses of these people here. And it's all summarized by the text that we read for you before. They are not of God. They are not of God. And their rejection of Jesus Christ and their desire to kill him is evidence that they were not of God. Jesus says things here in this chapter that him being the person who divides his sheep from the goats, he has the right to make very definitive statements of condemnation that we do not. But Peter, especially when Peter was interacting in Acts chapter 8 with Simon Magus, who history after that interaction there in Acts chapter 8, history tells us that he proved to be a false professor. He was a very ungodly man, and and sowed much discord with the church. Peter told him there that when he desired to receive the Holy Ghost, to pay money to receive the Holy Ghost, Peter said, "I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness." And in other words, I perceive that you're in a really, really bad spot. But peradventure, maybe if you repent, God will forgive you, right? You know, based on my perception of the way that you're responding to this, I perceive that you're in a really, really bad spiritual condition. Whether you're unregenerate or whether you're just a disobedient child of God is not my itinerary and not any of my business. But regardless, you need to repent. So even Peter, when he saw someone that was living and making decisions that were totally contrary to the Word of God, he looks at that person and he says, "I perceive that you're in a really, really bad spot, and you need to repent." But isn't it interesting that Jesus never told these people he's interacting with here, he never said, "If you repent..." You know, Peter said, even looking at Simon Magus with all of his bad fruit, "I perceive you're in a really bad spot, but if you repent, maybe God will forgive you." Jesus never in any of his interactions with his people here says to them, "If you'll just repent, if you'll just believe, if you'll just do whatever, then you can live with me in heaven." Jesus is just simply making stark statements that the reason why you don't hear my words is because you are simply not of God. You're not of God. And again, the condemnation throughout this chapter is just so stark and so direct. And Jesus is definitive, and he's doing it for the benefit, I believe. The reason why he's speaking this way is for the benefit of the public, the rest of the congregation that's there in the temple, that they would realize how untrustworthy these Pharisees are. You know, there are most rebukes, especially in our interactions. Obviously, we're not the Son of God. But in most of our rebukes, if someone is acting contrary to the Word of God, most of those need to be in private, most of the time. But sometimes, if people are being led astray by the wickedness of some people, sometimes those rebukes need to be public. And that's part of the reason I think why Jesus is hammering these people so hard in public, in the middle of the temple, is so everyone else would hear it when he told them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, to beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees, because if you follow their path, realize it's not the path of God." Okay? So again, I want to highlight just a few of these statements in this interaction he's having primarily with these wicked Pharisees, but he's speaking to a mixed group, a mixed multitude in the temple. And he addresses some people. We talked last time about the truth will make you free. He talked to those believers right there. So there are some believers in the group, but there are also some very wicked men that hated Jesus Christ. Okay, here in John chapter 8, let's hit verse 14 first. "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whether I go. You have no ability to perceive me as the Son of God." Verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, they said, "Where is thy Father?" And then Jesus answered and said, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also." Again, there's no but, there's no avenue to change your condition. He's just making definitive statements that this is the state that they are in. Verse 21, "I go my way and ye shall seek me and ye shall die in your sins." There's no but there. You shall die in your sins. Verse 23, "Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world, but I am not of this world." You're only Sustenance, your only interaction is of this world. There's nothing spiritual. You have no connection to the spiritual world of heaven. You're from beneath, but I'm not from beneath. I'm from heaven. You are of this world. And then he tells them yet again, a second time in verse 24, I say therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Believing not is the evidence of the state they're already in, just like belief is the evidence that one has already been born again. Verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. The reason why you don't hear my word is because there's nothing inside of you. When I speak spiritual, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Well, if you ain't got the spirit and don't have the life, then those words don't have any place in you, right? If you don't have those two things, if you don't have the spirit, you don't have the life. If Jesus is speaking words that are spirit and life, they don't apply to you. They have no place in you. Verse 39, I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And he clarifies that a little bit later on. Verse 39, that was verse 38. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the works of Abraham. So they don't do the works of Abraham. And what was the works of Abraham? The works of faith. Right? Abraham is the principal example in the entire New Testament of justification by faith, also justification by works. They don't have faith, so they can't do the works of Abraham because they don't have the faith to do the works of Abraham. Right? Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. And again, he's going to clarify that more precisely in verse 44. We'll just pick up right there. You do the deeds of your father. And then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now, Jesus at this point is a grown man. This is one of his visits back to Jerusalem. And we know Jesus had about a 3.5 year public ministry because of his various visits to Jerusalem for the feast days. This is one of the visits, but we don't necessarily know what year it is, but it wasn't the last one. So we'll say he, instead of 33.5, we'll just say he's 32. We'll say it was the second to last one, maybe. But he's a grown man, 32, but this is still the accusation that's being made of him because of the virgin birth of Mary, right? And praise God, there are many people that realized that he was the Son of God, that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, but there were still many people that were still spreading that false rumor that Jesus was born of fornication and Mary really should have been stoned back in the day. That was still the rumor that was attached to not just Mary, but the birth of Jesus Christ. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. What is the evidence? What's the manifestation of being a child of God? Belief in Jesus Christ, but also love of Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us. If God were your father, ye would love me. The obvious indication there is you don't love me. And why don't you love me? It's not because you just don't choose to love me. It's the reason why you don't love me is because God's not your father, right? If God were your father, ye would love me. And again, there's no option there to become a son. You know, make God your father. No, you can't make God your father. Just like we can't choose our own father, we're chosen of the Father. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. why do you not understand my speech? Is it because you're stubborn and you refuse to believe? And if you would just turn your heart toward me and repent and be baptized, I'm offering you the mansions of eternal life in my Father's house, right? How does Jesus talking to these people? Again, I know I'm being a dead horse, but that's what we're doing tonight, okay? That's what we're doing tonight. Because Jesus keeps just drilling the same dead horse. Dead goats, really, right? Because these people are given no opportunity to change their eternal condition. Why? Because we have no ability to change our eternal condition. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. Now, they could hear in a natural sense. I'm sure their eardrums worked fine and they had vibrations in their ear that allow us to hear. They could hear the auditory speech of Jesus Christ. But there was nothing in a spiritual sense inside their soul that when Jesus spoke words through the Holy Spirit that it could touch their heart. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. Again, Jesus doesn't say, please, 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 please choose to hear my word. Right? You cannot hear my word. Why? Why can't you hear my word? He's saying, you don't know anything about my Father. My Father is Jehovah God. You don't know my Father. You don't even know who you think your father is, which is or your great-great-great-grandfather, lineage of Abraham. Who is really these people's father? Boy, Jesus, you know, if he was peppering them before, he cuts to the quick. Here in verse 44, you're of your father the devil. You're not of father of Jehovah God. You are of your father the devil. And therefore, he said, look, if God were your father, you'd love me. If God were your father, you'd love me. But the devil is your father, and therefore the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know, there is such a, I don't really want to get off on this, but there is such a stark contrast, which is obvious, between Satan and Jesus Christ, right? Jesus is the truth. Well, what's Satan characterized by? He's the father of lies, the exact opposite of truth. Jesus Christ is not just the truth, he is the life. Well, what's Satan? He's a murderer from the beginning. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Verse 45. And which of you, convincing me of sin, and if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? So, why do you not believe me? What's the why? What's the why these people don't believe? What's the why? Is it because they were offered eternal life and they were too wrapped up in the world and they chose to decline the offer of eternal salvation? Why do they not believe in Jesus Christ? This is the why. This is the why. Verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. Why? Because ye are not of God. That's why they didn't have the capacity to believe. Because they had no spiritual nature to receive the spiritual words of Jesus Christ. We'll hit a few verses really quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Y'all are all good old Baptists here this evening. Y'all know this message and you know these verses. So I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Kind of backing up a little bit here in the context. He's saying, verse 9, I have not seen nor ever heard nor have entered into the things of man which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So how do we understand things? Now notice the contrast here. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, right? There is something that natural senses can't receive. Well, how have we received it? How has the children of God received it? By the Spirit, right? There is something that the natural ear can't hear and the natural eye can't see. But when you've been given the Holy Spirit in the new birth, now all of a sudden you have spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear. In Revelation, when Jesus Christ is encouraging the various churches there, the consistent phrase that he uses in most of, maybe all of them, but most, if not all, of each of those letters to the seven churches of Asia, he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Now, if you don't have the Spirit, do you think you have the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying? Well, no, right? No, of course not. You have to have a spiritual ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. So therefore, there is something that the natural eye cannot see and the natural ear cannot hear, but God has revealed them to us by what? By His Spirit. Who has His Spirit? Those that are of God. Those that were in Christ before the world began. Okay. Verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth," comparing spiritual things with spiritual, "but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them." He has no capacity to understand. Just like Jesus says, you cannot hear my word. Just that simple. You cannot hear my word. "Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You know, I know this sounds so elementary, but I mean, what do you have to receive the spiritual teachings of Jesus Christ? You got to have the Spirit, right? How do you get the Spirit? Because you are of God. "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." And Jesus did not have an altar call right there, did he? He didn't offer them the opportunity to believe and become of God. He didn't say, "Today your father's the devil, but if you accept me, God's going to be your father tomorrow." No, he's just making definitive statements that he that is of God is going to, their general disposition. That's not to say that every child of God is going to believe perfectly and going to perfectly exhibit faith and walk perfectly, but the general disposition of God's children is to hear the words of God and to follow the commandments of God. And the general disposition of those that are not of God is to reject Jesus Christ and reject a belief on Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Verse 48, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say ye not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and you do dishonor me." I'm honoring my father, and you're trying to give the pretense that you're honoring God. You're dishonoring God because you're dishonoring me. "And I seek not mine own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." And the rest of the chapter, I'll save that for next time. I love verse 56 right there where it says, "Your father." You're trying to say that you're acting just like your father Abraham. "Your father Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad." And that goes all the way back to Mount Moriah. And I want to make sure I save a sermon just for that. For Abraham's joy in seeing the day of Jesus Christ. And I do want to mention, though, Abraham had the ability to see through faith Jesus Christ. Again, we'll come back Lord willing, at a later message and deal with this more in depth. But also Moses. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, when it's describing all of the hallmarks of faith and the great achievements of faith, Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. But it uses language there in Hebrews chapter 11 that Moses chose the reproach of Christ. Moses chose the reproach of Christ over the joys and the pleasures that he had in Egypt. And with both Moses and with Abraham, they had the ability through faith to see Jesus Christ, okay? And we have that same ability. You know, sometimes we read these accounts in the Gospels and it's like, oh man, if we could just see him and touch him, then our faith would be so much stronger. Well, Abraham, now it was through a glass darkly to a degree, but Abraham and Moses had the ability to see Jesus Christ by faith. And we have that same ability to see him by faith. So, again, I believe that we are well grounded in the truth of the entire scriptures, but especially the consistent teaching in the Gospel of John, that belief is the evidence of regeneration, right? It's not the cause of regeneration. And if there was anywhere, you know, sometimes, you know, we talk about Peter when he goes to Cornelius. And when he shows up there, what he doesn't say is he doesn't say, you need to pray the sinner's prayer and maybe you'll be saved. What he says when he shows up, and he says, of a truth, I believe. The guy's no respecter of persons. And I already see the evidences that the wind of the Holy Spirit has already blown among these people. He didn't show up and say, you need to get right with the Lord. He showed up and says, wow, these people are already right with the Lord, right? And we always, I know I do, I like to focus on Peter. If there's anywhere in Scripture where you would have the consistent teaching that we hear in denominational Christianity today, that you need to repent and believe to be saved, that is the place where Peter would deliver that message. And if anyone was going to deliver it, it'd be Jesus Christ. If he was going to deliver it anywhere, this would be the place, right? Because he's telling them, you are 100% lock, stock, and barrel going to hell, right? And he did not offer any U-turn routes, did he? He didn't offer any options. He just simply said, you don't hear my words because you are not of God. And listen, we need to be reminded of the fact that the only reason that we're of God is because God chose us by his free and sovereign grace before the world began. It's not because of any merit in and of ourselves. It's not because we did anything better than anybody else. The only reason we're of God, the only reason why we have any desire to hear God's words or have the capacity to hear God's words is because of the choice of Jesus Christ. An unconditional election before the world began. We love him because he first loved us. And sometimes, you know, I don't like spending a lot of time thinking about hell. Because praise God, that's not where we're going, right? But we need to be reminded every now and then of just how deplorable of a condition we are, we were in our nature, when God chose to pluck us out of that based in no merit in and of ourselves, right? And it's hard to read how harshly he condemns them, but that's all of us. That's all of us before Jesus Christ changed our nature and put his spirit inside of us and made us of God. So therefore, we're of God. What's our commandment for those that are of God? Hear God's words, believe in Jesus Christ, obey God's word, and also to love Jesus Christ. Because those are the evidences of those that are of God.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.